The sermon text this morning from today's first reading from the book of Revelation. And one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Thus far the words of the text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I have to confess to you, I'm kind of tired. Kind of tuckered. That has nothing absolutely to do with the time change or with anything like that. I'm just kind of tired and tuckered out. How about you? I don't even know if I'm just tired. I can't really say I'm sick and tired. Maybe overwhelmed and tired. I'm not sure. I noticed that somewhere in my 30s, I came to the realization that life is work. Work is work. Everything is work. And that saying that, you know, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life or something like that, that's not true. I mean, I love what I do. And there are times and days where you just got to slog through it. There is just flat out work. You want a good marriage? That's work. Day in and day out. Respectful and faithful children? Work. Day in and day out. Really hard work, times two or times three or times four. Intentional work, day in and day out, that makes a marathon look like it's something fun to do. It's not just the work of life, though. It's the weariness of the mind and the body. It's not unique to me. Everybody has that. It's also the satanic opposition to our lives that we contend with. And the battle against not only our fallen nature, but against the brokenness that exists in the world and its blindness. I mean, the world isn't just apathetic to the things of God. So often we find the world being downright hostile to the things of God and His Christ. We are the church militant. And without question, and without a doubt, you are right now smack dab in the middle of that great tribulation that is spoken of in the Scriptures. Demonic forces are attacking every aspect of your life. Everything, every bit of it. Your marriage, your work, they're attempting to consume your children's souls. They're destroying the gift of human sexuality. And as St. Paul writes to the congregation at Rome, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves." And it's not just physically. Not least of all, satanic influences lay siege to your faith. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Yet as we sang in today's opening hymn, when the fight is fierce and the warfare long, steals on the ear that distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again and arms are strong, the golden evening brightens in the west. Soon, soon to faithful warriors cometh rest. Sweet is the calm of paradise the blessed. Alleluia, alleluia. What does John see in his vision of the 12,000 of each tribe and the great, great, mighty host before the throne? God sees the entire church triumphant in his vision, those who have come out of the great tribulation. And this vision of the heavenly realms is of great comfort to you and I who struggle here in mortal flesh. Each of the departed in our commemoration today had their trials. They had their tribulations, their weaknesses, their strengths. Some were exhausted. Some had battled illness. Some battled many other things. But we remember that today, they are now at rest. And it's a rest that we too long for. We long for that comfort as we contend for the faith now. Every Christian experiences testings of faith and witness. Every such trial points to that great church's tribulation and becomes in that moment a time of great tribulation for the believer themselves. You have gone through these times. You have experienced these things also. And so the picture of eternal glory for the comfort of the Christians of all times and in all places, it's for you too, especially when you experience the trials and the tribulations of life that put your faith to the test. No Christian is immune from suffering. No Christian is immune from fears and threats to life and faith, even sometimes to the point that our souls feel scorched as if we were standing there in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then comes the picture of eternal glory. And then we find comfort and rest. And we long for the rest of heaven, where our souls will go when our body rests in the earth. What will this heaven be like? Not much is said in the scripture of it other than that we are to long for it and that we are in God's hand. That just as Jesus said, Father, into your hand I commend my spirit. Very particularly, we are told that we shall be with Christ, as St. Paul himself said, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. We know that this rest with Christ will be paradise, as Jesus told the thief on the cross. This day you will be with me in paradise. There is that blissful state of the soul after death caused by the presence and the enjoyment of God. Though now all of that is hidden under the crosses that we bear, and even though we battle our old Adam, our imperfections are daily and richly forgiven for the sake of Christ. And we remember that in paradise, there will be no more sin. We shall no longer be engaged in that old battle against ourselves, no longer engaged in that battle against our satanic foe. And you shall be at peace. And you shall rest. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be your shepherd. John's vision shows us that in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we really are the church triumphant. And here in this picture in the book of Revelation, he shows you your future. John is looking at the end state of the church in which the Christian enters at the very moment of death, when your eyes close and you take your last breath. You will enter glory in paradise. It's something to be looking forward to. This will be fully realized in you at the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of the body at Christ's return. Because you see, we look past death. We look past heaven. And we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting, where there will be a new heaven and a new earth marked by the absence of sin and the absence of the effects of sin. That means that there will be no more tears for you, no more pains, no more weaknesses, no mourning, or sadness. And all of this will be accompanied by glory and joy in the contemplation of God. And in addition to all of that, your bodies will rise in glory and joy and beauty. It will be your body, male or female, just as God has created you. But it will have a different appearance and a different use. It will not be weak. It will not hunger. It will not need the things of this life. In fact, though, it will be a better body than Adam and Eve had at creation. Suffice it to say that what we are longing for, there really are no words for it. And it can't be put into human words because it is beyond all human experience. Let each of us then simply rest secure in the promises of God's word, that since Christ is risen from the dead, we too shall rise from the dead, and we shall reflect his glory, and that shall be enough for our faith. But lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array, and the King of glory passes on his way. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.